Archbishop, good to be with you again.
Yeah, thanks, David. Good to be with you as well.
This installment of the Shepherd's Voice here for the month of June, we're talking about vocations, particularly because as we're recording this, in just a couple days' time, you're going to be leading a holy hour for vocations at the cathedral, Saturday, June 5th, 10 a.m., specifically at the time when typically we would have celebrated an ordination mass, right? So, well, first let's talk about that, and then we can go into the rest.
Yeah. So sadly, I don't have the opportunity to ordain any new priests for the Archdiocese of Omaha this year, and so this is the occasion for us to really focus on the efforts to pray that the Lord will bless us with the priestly vocations that He wants us to have and that we need, that we'll be able to discern those and receive them. And to also think about how each of us in our own way can be instruments of invitation to young men whom the Lord might be calling and who may be sort of wrestling with the idea of their vocation. I'm grateful that a number of parishes decided in the week leading up to that holy hour at the cathedral to set aside time in their parishes, holy hours, other times of prayer or adoration, to call on the Lord and invite Him to give us this blessing as we move into the future in our archdiocesan church. So we're grateful for the priests that we have and know that the Lord is not turning His back on us or neglecting us in any way, but we don't want to be neglecting Him or somehow taking His plan or this gift of priestly vocations for granted.
You know, we continually at Sunday Mass will hear the intentions in the general intercessions. Parishes are always praying for vocations to priesthood, religious life. Some parishes will include marriage as well, any vocation. Given that we're praying for, it seems those of us in the church are asking for this on a continual basis, or particularly, there are some particularly devoted folks that do, thinking of the Sarah Club and others. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it seems that we're not getting what we desire as a response?
Boy, if I knew the answer to that, I could write the book, because it's a challenge in dioceses all across the country and in many, many parts of the world right now. And in fact, you know, we often talk about a shortage of priests in our area and in our country, but in many parts of the world, the shortage, if you want to call it that, is much, much more acute. And it's the experience of many of our brothers and sisters in the Catholic faith around the world that they don't even see a priest regularly at their parish or in their village, not because the priests are neglecting them, but they're so few and the conditions are so challenging in terms of getting around. We've really been blessed here, and particularly in this archdiocese. You know, the generations going before us have really built a firm foundation of faith and have passed on this gift of faith to us. And the generations of priests who have served here have done so very generously. We've had good and holy priests, and so we should be not having a mindset of scarcity or of shortage. We should be grateful first and always, but then we should also be thinking, how can we continue to provide this blessing, this resource for ourselves and for the people coming after us? Because it's a call from the Lord and involves a free response on the part of the one being called, we can't just crank out priests or make them from thin air. We respect the plan of Jesus, and we respect the freedom of those whom He is calling. But I think what we have come to realize, and this year kind of focuses that realization, is that we must be missing something. So the prayer is good, and as you mentioned, we have active Sarah clubs and prayer in parishes and efforts in schools and other places. Along with the prayer, we're having some discussion and reflection about what's the best way to approach this challenge for our local church. It seems to me just right off the bat that maybe some of what we do is unfocused, and it's like everything that we do regularly, it can become somewhat routine, so that we are sort of satisfied with giving it's not lip service at all, it's a sincere prayer, but we make a sort of a general prayer in our parishes or even in our families, but don't really see that we have a part in both identifying and then maybe facilitating a response there. At the Chrism Mass this year, when our priests of the Archdiocese are all together, it's the custom around the church that day for priests to renew our commitment to continue to serve the Lord. Those promises don't expire, so we don't have to renew them every year exactly. But it's a beautiful moment as we think of the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood during Holy Week, that we recommit ourselves to our response to serve the Lord as priests. At that Mass this year, I talked to the priest about this challenge and encouraged us all to take the challenge more personally, to think about who might be the young men in our parishes and our schools that we could imagine might be have a call from the Lord, might have the qualities that would help them be good priests, as far as we can see it now. You know, we can't see everything in the future. And then my encouragement is to the priest, but I offer that as encouragement to everybody to pray for those whom the Lord might be calling. And maybe we have some people in mind. Maybe we pray to the Lord to show us the ones who he may be calling so that we can not target them exactly, you know, but offer the support of our prayers, even secretly, you might say. And then especially for our priests, our teachers, others, youth ministers who have contact with young people, to ask the Lord to show us a moment when we might bring up the topic, make an offer an invitation to think about it. In all my years as a priest and a bishop, I've never found that a young man is insulted by the suggestion that I think he might make a good priest, or that the Lord might be calling him. Sometimes I think we might be afraid that we'd be seen as putting pressure on somebody, or which we certainly don't want to do. But I think in recent years, perhaps it's been the opposite. You know, that we haven't really been explicit enough in inviting and supporting. Once men come into the seminary in this archdiocese, they receive great support, I find, from family, from parishioners, from people who don't even know them personally, but who see their faces on a poster, or others, you know, who just really want us to have good priests for the future and are very supportive. So I'm so grateful and compliment people around the archdiocese for that support. But it's the step previous to that, how we can encourage a young man who might be thinking about the possibility of priesthood to think that there's a way forward for him, and there's a step he could take. Father Rose, our vocations director, does a great job in reaching out and being in contact with those who we find out in some way might have this thought about themselves, about their vocation. But I think we all need to do a little bit more of that, but we don't want to attempt it without prayer. And so that's our focus now, early in the month of June. It's on the weekend of Feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're aware that we can't have the Eucharist without priests, as the Lord has designed the life of our church. We've all had the opportunity during the pandemic to think about the value of the Eucharist in our lives and the importance of being part of the Mass at least week by week. And that should lead us to value more than ever the gift of the priesthood, and to see that we're not going to have a vibrant future in our families and our parishes without the priest that we need to stand in the person of Jesus at the head of the worshiping community for the celebration of the Eucharist and for the pastoral and sacramental life of the church in other ways.
Absolutely. So taking it personally, that's a key insight, I think, that we sort of in a corporate way pray for, or we're asked to pray for on a regular basis. It can be easy, I know personally, for me to depersonalize the prayer. Like, okay, well, we're praying for this thing. Yep, Lord, hear our prayer. And it's in my mind for a moment and I forget about it, but that prayer becomes an actual intention in my heart, my way of relating to other people or the church or my family in the world is a further step, and that becomes more concrete. So one of the questions that I think also was raised, you said a free response is required, and this is true of any of the vocations. What do you think gets in the way of a free response, of a free and generous response to that tug or that suggestion?
That's a good question. But before there can be a response, there has to be an invitation and then a recognition that one is being invited. So if we could just take a step back from your question,
sure,
and say, well, why may people not be hearing the invitation or be able to understand that's what it is. So that the culture is noisy, and young people especially who are mainly thinking about, you know, as we think about those being called to a vocation, a way of life in the church, their lives are really busy, often with a lot of good activities, things that can be really enriching for them personally. Social media, other media is noisy and immediate, and, you know, seems to demand a response. It's a different kind of invitation and response there. So for those of us who have some influence over in the lives of young people, parents, teachers, priests, youth ministers, other coaches, other mentors, you know, people who have an influence, to communicate a couple of things. The first is that we've been created, each of us, for an important and good purpose. And God has a plan for each of us. And the plan is good. And it means life for us. It means a fulfilling life, not necessarily an easy life or everything going our way. As we get a little bit older, we realize life's not going to be like that anyway. In a sense, I think we maybe have lost this culture of vocation in the sense that everyone is being called. So to try to communicate that, not in an ominous way, I think, you know, sometimes we corner young people and say, well, you know, what do you want to do? Or what kind of degree are you going to get? Or whatever. You have to answer. They feel like they have to answer something that they're not really ready to answer. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an open-ended understanding in a hopeful way that God does have a plan. I might not see it right away, but God has a plan and it's good. And then I think to provide young people the opportunities to pray, and to pray in where there's the sense of not only talking to the Lord, but also listening to him, and to invite them to quiet places where there can be where they can be led into how they might use that time, that quiet space, but then not fill it up with our chatters always, but help them understand that it can be good to just sit in the presence of the Lord and see what he might offer. Happens very beautifully in times of Eucharistic adoration. And I've been really encouraged to see how so many young people are attracted to that opportunity when it's offered. I'm just confident, and it's been our experience in the church over centuries, you know, that if we sit in the presence of the Lord and allow him to speak to us, that he'll begin to reveal his plan, the plan of the Father for us, that Jesus was sent among us with a mission, and he shares that saving mission with us in a variety of ways and vocations in the church, but in a real particular way in the priesthood. Experience of those who are working these days with high school and college age students indicates that there's a great deal of anxiety among young people that in all kind of categories for all kind of reasons. And I think for any of us who sort of think about the big future and what's expected of me and can I do it, that can be anxiety inducing. So we're not trying to play into that or make that worse, certainly, or sort of create an anxiety. Well, you better figure out what the Lord wants, and then then you better do it. Because even before the anxieties of the modern age, I speak as an older person, it was just this natural sense among us as we're young that, the Lord's going to ask something of me that I really don't want to do or be part of. Mm-hmm. And then I'm kind of in a catch-22, that if I do it, I'm not going to be happy. And if I don't do it,
I'm
going to be miserable because I'm not doing what the Lord is asking me to do.
Yep.
And all of that thinking is from the evil one. That's not at all how the Lord operates. So he does have desires for all of us, and they're all for our good, and they're all for our, so that we might flourish. And so this valuable gift of life that we have been given can be offered to God and to the community in a way that will be meaningful and that will have a really good impact. And the good impact will be on me myself, but also on the people around me and on the church. So maybe that's to the priesthood. Maybe that's a vocation to marriage. maybe it's not to either of those, but to give my life generously in a profession, in a manner of service, or at least dedicate a portion of my life to that. There just are all kinds of beautiful possibilities that the Holy Spirit opens up in the church. Our challenge then is to try to communicate to young people, and as we talk about the priesthood, to young men, that it's good to come close to the Lord in prayer, to do that just more than occasionally, but in a regular way, and we can help provide those opportunities and allow him to reveal his love for us first. And then as we become a little more convinced of that, we're, I think, more open to hear what he might be desiring of us in terms of what do I do with this life that I have been given. I don't have a million options, but we have a lot of options in our culture, and I can exercise my freedom in exploring some possibilities first and then choosing. And in a sense, you can't make a mistake unless you choose something evil, we'll leave that out for now.
Right, yes.
But to choose among a couple of things or a number of things that could be good in themselves, we try it. Begin to talk with people about it, maybe enter formation for the priesthood, for example, in the seminary. And we don't do it casually, but we do it with the sense that I don't know everything about this. So I'm going to go with my mind and my heart open, and this is what I think the Lord is desiring for me. It's what I think I'd most desire for myself. Mm-hmm. And then with the help of good mentors and teachers and directors, we find out is it really true. Sometimes the anxiety comes from the thought that, I've got to get this right today, and if I make a choice, I'm stuck with it. So at a certain point in our lives, and particularly with regard to vocation, we are asked to make a commitment, and then that commitment is binding. But there are many steps to get to that point, and they're designed to help us come to that point with confidence and freedom that we can say yes to the plan of the Lord.
Yeah, beautifully said. As you're describing this process, I'm thinking of my own journey and how, in college, high school and college, that paralysis was near at hand. I think it's about vocation, future, as the question was often put, again, as a young person who would darken the door of a church, the lovely older women at my parish would often accost me and tell me what my vocation was, which was very helpful. They were wrong, it turns out, but their hearts were in the right place. But there was a certain, in my own, I needed the maturation, first of all, to be able to respond in freedom. And it was many steps along the way. At that moment, it was looking into the future was the temptation, saying, I have to do this. And the temptation from the evil one, as you pointed out, is to have us look at it as the thing I have to do. And I'm afraid Christ is against me, is against my flourishing, is against my freedom. He's going to impose something from the outside. And that's where we're stuck in that, as you said perfectly, the catch 22. I'm suspicious because I don't know. Well, actually, I don't know him at that point. And so I can't receive this as a gift. It's just something to be afraid of because I'm looking at reality as though it's on my shoulders. Right. I've got to figure it out. And slowly it's revealed. And, in steps of, for my own path, it was eventually an encounter with a woman who became my wife, and that, those each of those steps were necessary. And then there was the definitive one, but it wasn't a flying leap. It wasn't just a stab in the dark of, I hope this works out well. I mean, that's not a great way to enter marriage. Just a little FYI to anybody who's thinking about that. But I find that in retrospect, he brought me step by step to the place where I could say a more and more full yes, even when that one at the altar, and friends I know who are priests say that they have a similar experience. I don't know what's going to happen after this, but I know that my yes is certain. And I'm entrusting myself.
Yeah, and then we all look back, I think, to the extent that we were free and had went to somebody with our eyes open, then I say, well, okay, I said I was going to do this, and and now I'm going to do it, and nobody made me. Mm-hmm. And so, I sort of pull up my socks and with what self-respect I have and a little bit of pride, say, well, I'm going to do my best. And I said I was going to do it, and I'm going to do it. That's how commitment feels, you know, on some days. The Gospels describe how Jesus called the first priests, the apostles, mm-hmm. and he said, "Follow me." And a couple of them asked one day, "Well, you know, where do you stay?" And he said, "Well, come and find out." So it really, there's a first step always, and mm-hmm. we can't skip it. And I those of us who are older and more mature in the faith, I think might forget how a young person has not yet taken the first step in a life of discipleship. They've learned and they know the Lord, and they as kids, you know, have been part of the faith in a variety of ways, thankfully, in their families and the schools, and celebrated the sacraments that are available to them. But at a certain moment, there has to be if we're going to be disciples, an attachment to the Lord, and you know, a sense that He's calling me, He wants me to be part of His life, He wants to be part of my life, and I don't exactly know where that's going to go, but I hear Him saying, "Well, you know, come and find out," mm-hmm. and there's not an absolute commitment at that point, other mm-hmm. than, "Well, okay, I think I'll go find out. I'll find out more about Jesus. I'll find out what it means to be with Him. If I follow Him, what's that going to mean for my life? How might it change things? How might it enrich things? Who are the other people that are responding to this invitation from the Lord? I can be with them." So there really our hope in prayer these days is to provide a context where that the young people in our archdiocese will be able to hear the invitation of the Lord. I want us to have more priests, and I want us to have good holy ones, of course. I tell the Lord I would like more, my responsibility as a pastor, I think our priests feel the same way, and parents, we hope, feel the same, that our real desire is that each young person will be able to hear the voice of the Lord and respond, so that they end up where the Lord is inviting them, not just where I want them to be. But I need to offer encouragement, and particularly to come to know Him, provide the opportunities where people can know Him. So our archdiocesan pastoral vision has as one of its elements, encountering Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we can't skip that step, any of us. And we can't expect that we're going to have priests from out of a pool of young men who haven't had the chance to encounter Jesus. Again, no, not blaming anybody, not blaming them, but let's make sure those moments of encounter are available for them. Sometimes that's in a prayerful context. Sometimes it's in a conversation with an adult that mm-hmm. they respect, whose voice they might be open to listening to, who might encourage them to say, "I think, you know, the Lord is inviting you to experience His friendship, and maybe even to think about following Him as a priest." Mm-hmm. That's something that can be received if it comes from the right person. It can come from almost anybody, but as you said, we sometimes experience that people who are kind of strangers to us saying, "You know, I've seen you at church, and I think you'd make a good priest." That's like, and it comes from a really good place in their heart that they're saying that, and it's but it might not be able to be received as warmly,
sure,
from somebody that a person doesn't really know.
Right.
But I really do encourage all of our people. I've been given the encouragement to our priests, and we'll continue to do that. But to all who are listening, to just take this challenge personally. That priests don't pop up out of the ground. They come from families. Mm-hmm. They come from schools, from neighborhoods, from parishes. So we see where our future priests are going to come from. Mm-hmm. We know these people. We know where they live. And we care about them. We want the best for them. We know the Lord wants only good for them. So it's worth a conversation in our families. It's worth a conversation in our parishes, in our schools, in our youth programs. How can we really communicate this truth of our faith that Jesus wants to be with us and wants us to be with Him, and that He has a plan for us that is really good and holy, and that will bear good fruit in our lives and in the lives of others.
Well, thank you, Archbishop. I think, you know, speaking as a family man, I do want to create, space for what we might call vocational living. Just this is the way we engage in the world, with an eye toward his calling, and in what we might call little ways, and then in the bigger moments that will be revealed in time. So I very much appreciate the encouragement, and I know we need the reminder, and we can take up this call right where we are. So thank you again, and I will be sure to pray for the priests that we do have, and for all the young men who may be being called by the Lord, that they can hear.
Good. Yeah. Say one for the Archbishop when you think of it, too.
I will. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate this opportunity. I love my own vocation and have wonderful priest friends, and am so privileged to work with the priests who are here in this archdiocese, that I see it as such a great good, mm-hmm. a blessing in my own life and in the lives of other priests, and a blessing for the church, a blessing that we want to continue into the future, by the Lord's design, but taking our own place as his instruments when he gives us the opportunity to do so.
Wonderful. Talk to you next time, everybody.
All right, good. Thanks very much.